Now on RN, we've got the story of a man who lives in Cairns, Queensland, but who's devoted himself to changing the future for children, particularly young girls, in the remote village of Batasi in Nepal, where he was born, and where child trafficking and child marriage remain major problems. That's the subject of a new book by former ABC journalist Kirsty Nancarro. The book's called Himalayan Dreams, the story of Som Tamang. In Som's early years, he faced extreme poverty, child slavery, and a tiger attack. And against all odds, he managed to create a new life and his own business in Australia, which he's used to help give opportunities to young kids in the next generation in Nepal. And I'm very pleased to say that both Kirsty Nancarro and Som Tamang join us now on RN. Welcome, Kirsty.
Good morning, Julian.
And hello, Som.
Good morning, Julian. How are you?
Very well. Som, could you tell us about Batasi and the circumstances that you were born into?
As book explains, Batasi is not very far away from Kathmandu, but it's very, very remote area and still quite remote in sense of education. So it is a really interesting little remote village there.
And Kirsty, in the book, you also give us the broader context of the Tamang people, who are one of Nepal's 59 recognised indigenous groups. Could you speak a little to that as well?
Yes. So traditionally, throughout the course of history, the Tamang people have been marginalised and until relatively recently excluded from political life with strong cultural traditions. This is an area that's sort of on the edge of the Himalayas, closer to Tibet, and really strong cultural traditions in this people. And there has been a caste system in Nepal, and Tamang people have traditionally been forced into positions of very low income, subsistence farming existence, and that is very much in the way that Som was brought up. Certainly, in a house that didn't really have much, where existence is a matter of survival. It's not, there's no privileges, and education is very much seen as a privilege and not something that is thought of as essential for girls, or at least it wasn't. So that is the context in which Som first went to school, and he was pretty much among boys only when he went to school in Batasi as a young boy. And at that stage, the school only went to grade 5. So really, the life of the Tamang people in Batasi village in Som's younger years was all about gearing up to be a farmer, get married, have children, and exist off the land.
And Som, you clearly had an innate drive and desire for education, but that in a way led to the experience that you had of child slavery. How did that happen, and how did you manage to make it end, Som?
Look, as Kirsty mentioned there, the village and my family and entire village's perspective and outlook on education was not important. And when a great example is when I wanted to go to school, and I would go to school and miss a big farming day of a plantation, I would still ignore the plantation. I'll go to the school when I come back. I almost sometime would not have the home to come back, because my parents would be so angry, and they would use an example of your book is not going to give you a food, but if you plant a rice this year, you're going to have a food within a few months. So you have to make a choice. So that's a kind of a talk that I was given. So knowing that by 10, 11, I knew wrong and right. I knew what education mean, and I knew that there wasn't, my destiny wasn't in the village, being married at around 12 and being settled like my parents did. So I had to make escape. So as the book will have a really clear explanation of my preparation and leaving the village, but I just packed my little bag with a towel and followed somebody behind who were going to Kathmandu. So that's what happened.
Mm. And you were hoping that you would get an education in Kathmandu, but it turned out very differently, didn't it?
Yeah, the guy who's from the neighboring village, he promised that I was going to be adopted and given the opportunity to go to school just like his own kids. And I really believed that, and I was so excited because I knew many other children from the village were disappeared into same story, but I have never heard back, but I believed that they were doing the same, so I followed through. That was back many years ago. Yeah, it would really have a time frame on the book.
Yes, and you ended up basically, you know, being the slave of another family and having to work there for a couple of years. But extraordinarily, you managed to buy your way out of that situation, get back to your village, and then embark on what's a really remarkable and varied career. Kirsty, I'll throw that over to you now. Perhaps you could give us some of the highlights of the way that Som managed to get from that terrible situation at the age of 10 to becoming a businessman in Cairns, because it's got everything from trekking to kickboxing, you name it. It's an incredible story.
Yes, I think what this story shows is that it doesn't matter where you come from and it doesn't matter what you're born with. If you have hope and determination and initiative, you can do and be whatever you want to be. And Som is an absolute example of that. I mean, even when he was a young boy, he had the wherewithal to realize that his family didn't have certain foods that he could see other families in other villages having, like bananas. So he would go and pick berries and take them, you know, a substantial way down to the river. I mean, Batasi is about 1,800 meters above sea level. He would walk for several hours down to Melamchi, the main sort of commercial hub, and he would initially exchange those berries for lollies, but then eventually he realised there was a bit of an enterprise in this, so he was starting to exchange it for fruits and vegetables like bananas that his family couldn't access, and, you know, started a trade like that even as a child. So he kind of took that entrepreneurship on. Initially, when he was determined, when he got back to the village, he realized, you know, it was a bit late for his education. So he concentrated on his siblings and had to fight to get his sister to go to school because his parents were so against it. So she only got to start at age 11, but he did fund that through hard labor. You know, some backbreaking work in construction, and that led him back to Kathmandu. And it was when he was doing this labouring that he, you know, found himself in Tamil, which is sort of the tourist area of Kathmandu, and he was seeing other guys around his age working as porters and trekking guides. So he found himself in that industry and realised that he was already very strong from carrying heavy loads, both in the village and in the construction industry. So carrying bags for tourists up into the Himalayas was actually a bit of a breeze. And he eventually became multilingual through this work in the trekking industry. And I won't give too much away in the book, but needless to say, he found his way to Australia and finally was able to resume his education. And he's a living example of how education can change a person's life. He went to TAFE here in Cairns. He did an English course. He managed to finish his high school education, and he became the first person in his village to complete a degree. And he did that at James Cook University here in Cairns. So a remarkable achievement. And his sister, who he invested in, who was only able to start school at age 11, is also now qualified as a pharmacist and a social worker. So
yeah, it's just amazing.
An absolutely incredible journey for both of them.
We're hearing there from Kirsty Nancarrow, whose first book is called Himalayan Dreams, the story of Som Temang, and Som's with us today as well. Som, Kirsty sort of alluded to it there, but you used your role as a provider to your family, generating income, to try and improve things for your younger sibling and your younger sister. To what extent did that involve actually challenging the authority structures that you were born into? And how challenging has it been to broaden that vision to other kids in Batasi?
It is really, really difficult and challenging. It's not only challenging that I had to provide food and provide the money to buy school resources for my brothers and sisters at beginning, but also I had to convince my parents for my brothers and sisters to access education, to access school. So there was a lot of negotiation within my own family, with my father, with my mother. At the same time, my father was a little bit of an alcoholic, which really didn't... It was a difficult household because of the stress, because of the dynamic. He would be drinking a lot and he would be really disrespectful towards my mother and my family. And by the time about age 12 and 13, by the time I was earning money coming back home, I had to negotiate with him. Either he changed his drinking habit and drinking behavior, or I just never come back, just like other village kids that left and I followed them. A lot of them never came back when I was my age at 12, and they would have been 15. So with that kind of negotiation, everything is working. Like Kirsty mentioned earlier, I really, really learned how to negotiate with people in a very, very young age. And I learned how to be fair, and I learned to listen and give and provide in very young age. So that was the challenge.
And the book recounts the amazing work that you've done through your organisation, Friends of Himalayan Children, to provide educational opportunities and to extend the years of education in Batasi. We've only got about a minute left, Kirsty, but could you just give us a brief insight into what impact finding out about SOM has had on your life?
Yes. I ended up volunteering for a month in Batasi about 18 months after the earthquake in 2015, which is when I met Som. I was at the ABC and I interviewed him about the impact. And then I went and to see him for myself. And those kids, they're so motivated for their education. They get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, they go for a run, they do their chores, they do their farming, and they're committed to their schooling. They go 6 days a week. And it's incredible. Some of these kids have lost one or two parents, or they've got too many mouths to feed. So SOM's hostel in the village allows them to have three meals a day accommodation, and they go to school and the parents don't have to worry about that expense. So it has made a huge impact. And now there's a new generation of leaders in Batasi who are have bright futures ahead of them as trekking guides, as social workers, as nurses, etc., and teachers. So yeah, it really has made a huge impact.
It's an inspirational story. And because of the earthquake, SOM had to basically build the hostel and the school twice, but it's all recounted in the book. Kirsty, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for joining us, SOM, as well.
Thank you, Julian.
Thank you so much, Julian, for having us on your station.
The book is called Himalayan Dreams, the story of SOM Tamang, and SOM's businesses are Take on Nepal and Friends of Himalayan Children.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.